previously on Algoa FM Breakfast.
I saw him on social media over the last couple of weeks teasing the song, the release that came out on Friday. Craig Lucas, his brand new song. He's like, I'm giving 2024 everything. It's called Falling in Love.
Now, if only that were to be the mandate of our newly elected ministers, giving us everything. The announcement, of course, having taken place on Sunday, the 30th of June, the new members of the National Executive for the 7th Administration. It includes all the parties of the Government of National Unity. This after, of course, President Ramaphosa was elected by the National Assembly on Friday, the 14th of June. And then he was inaugurated on Wednesday, the 19th. So here we are. We're sitting with a new contingency of cabinet ministers, and joined this morning just to take us through, you know, all the nitty gritties and to provide some insights. Of course, we have, is it Dr. Ongama Mdimga? I actually can't keep up. I don't know if it's doctor or professor at this point. But like we said earlier on, certainly very, very qualified political analyst. He's a lecturer. His research interests are in party politics, electoral competition, the economy and development, and local government, of course. We're joined by Ongama Mdimga. Ongama is a doctor or professor at this point.
Gotta be careful with those academic titles. good morning, Lee, Wayne, and Charlie T. So it is doctor, just for record. So next time you call me professor, you're on your own.
All right, doctor. Doctor, I think it was the first question, and it may be a bit broad in this context, but for in layman's term, to get the person on the street to understand what this is, what is GNU?
Sure. So let me start with the cynical view first. So the Government National Unity is a term that the ANC introduced in the political lexicon of our country post-elections, for avoiding to be seen to be either going with the Democratic Alliance to its right or the EFF to its left. A less cynical view is that it was the most inevitable political process or coalition that the ANC could come up with without triggering internal instability. So they needed, first of all, the market, if you remember, had factored in the ANC dropping only to about 45%. At that share of the vote, they would simply cobble together a small parties coalition, and we would see continuity as far as policy was concerned. When it dropped way lower than that, it brought it into risky political territory as far as the market was concerned, because this was the area where the ANC would be susceptible to either the EFF or the DA, which, by the way, the latter didn't really mind. So that's why the ANC then came up with its second best option, which I had predicted before elections, by the way, that it chose a government of national unity, because that's the only platform it could, bring everybody together. And we know that what's left became who remained around the table after both the DA and the EFF tried to push the ANC into choosing sides. And it did indeed choose to go mainly with the Democratic Alliance.
Ongama, we've actually got some questions here from listeners, one of which is around the bloated cabinet, seemingly. Charlton, do you want to go ahead and just share what Wolf has asked?
No, I haven't got that one. I think just I think you've got it there. Just perhaps read it out.
So Wolf says a bloated cabinet, this is what we were moaning about. The parties in the GNU moaned about a bloated cabinet, but now they're part of the very same cabinet and there's dead silence. Any thoughts about it being a bloated structure?
We must disabuse ourselves of the idea that there is an acceptable cabinet to a population ratio. There simply isn't. Cabinets get to be drawn out of the political context from which they arise. Are they costly? Yes, but what's the other cost that we could have borne? It would be political instability. the failure to accommodate powerful political interests across the GNU, which would be possibly a greater cost to pay than the few hundreds of millions that we have to pay extra for the price of political instability. So people shouldn't factor in as an opportunity cost simply less cabinet ministers. No, the actual cost that we're avoiding is instability. And if you can put a price tag to instability, I mean, you'd find that the total cost of this cabinet compared to what an unstable government could be is way less.
Look, I mean, we saw a lot of surprising moves and announcement from our president, who was late on Sunday. Are there any surprising appointments for you? And do you see any strategy around these appointments?
Sure. So quite interesting. The big question that was on President Cyril Ramaphosa's head was this question of, you know, how do you incorporate your most senior member of the GNU in the form of the Democratic Alliance without succumbing to or without falling into the category of a sellout president, as the internal opponents had labeled him. So I think that that was a huge balancing act, in the sense that he gave a lot of sum to the DA. He did get a raw deal to some degree, and kudos to the DA negotiators for accepting the deal. I'll tell you why. But you know that he was able to give them serious portfolios, and then instead of giving those thorny high-stakes portfolios as ministerial portfolios to them, it gave them deputy ministerial roles. And what that did is that it balanced between respecting the DA enough, but without putting policy, a core ANC offering at the risk of significant contestation. There still will be some contestation. Now, I was saying DA negotiators do deserve some credit here, because if you look at the deal numerically, it doesn't make sense because they've gotten far less than what they should have. But I heard Helen Zille yesterday explain how, because of the politics of the moment, it's the best deal that they could have. Now, they feel the same way that, you know, Nelson Mandela's ANC felt negotiating with the National Party, that you move away negotiating with a relatively stronger opponent, you know, with whatever is best based on the political circumstances of that negotiation, not judged in abstract outside of that reality in which it was negotiated.
Ongama, how does all of this, you know, trickle down to a provincial level? We know obviously it's now national ministers and so on. I know that there's also the postponement with the Gauteng cabinet and so on. But how does it trickle down, you know, on a provincial level?
So it's a chosen KDM. We know that for sure. It's a chosen because there could have been done some things at the national level that would actually throw that coalition into jeopardy. Now, it's interesting with Gauteng. I still need to wrap my head around it. There seems to be internal contestations in the ANC and differences in the ANC. And these differences come regarding how best to respond to what the DA wants there. It seems, and this is something we have known, by the way, that Panyaza Lesufi is a lot closer to the economic freedom fighters, than many appreciate. So it's interesting. I wouldn't be surprised, and this is not me saying this is the case. I wouldn't be surprised if part of the problem there is him contending with how best to deal with the coalition there in ways that still put him in good light with respect to the local politicians in Gauteng.
Ongama, my last question. My last question is around the age of this cabinet. Are we ever going to see a point where we have ministers that are younger than 70 years old?
There's quite a lot who are now younger, and I was quite happy with that. Especially, I mean, if you look at the Minister of Education, Sifiwe Kwakhume, you look at the Deputy Ministers, our own Andrew Whitfield and Zuko Kolimbi, both Eastern Capers. And then quite, you know, in the ministries, in the presidency. So we've got a fair mix, which I'm happy about. Also, if you look at higher education, Dr. Nomuhle Ngamane, I think we've gotten to that point, Lee, where the idea of a generational succession is gaining a lot more momentum than we have seen in previous cabinets.
Yes. No, that is promising indeed. Listen, thank you so much for taking some time out of what I would imagine is a very busy day. It always is with you. We always catch you on the fly. If we're not seeing you on television, we're seeing you somewhere around the world and the continent. But thank you for taking the time to chat to us this morning. Dr. Ongama Mdimka, political analyst and so on. Thank you very much for providing those insights, and we'll chat to you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks to you guys. Have a great day.
Algoa FM Breakfast is the business.